Right? Good. So, welcome to this morning and welcome to this worship service. It is good to see you all. It's the last Sunday of August. I'm sorry. That means that summer is just about at an end. But hopefully it stays warm for quite a bit longer, which would be really nice. But not too warm. Plus 40 in September might be a little much. But it's all good. Today, I'd like you to take note of a few announcements with me. And I'd like to also call up, there's a few others that have some announcements as well. Glenda had one. And if anybody else has an announcement, you're welcome to come on up as well. So, some to take note of. There's an update to our notice about those in care homes. As Peter Hildebrandt has passed away this last week, his funeral is today at 2:30, I think, here. And then also Lena Rempel is in Riverview Health Center. So that's something to take note of. Also, there's a note from Lore, and her kids in the Congo. Her kids are going to be going back to school on September 3rd, and she has a prayer request for us that we may pray for her mom who has kidney problems and is not feeling well. So she'd like us to pray for her as a congregation. An update on... On Andrea is that she's planning to be heading back to Hawaii after September long weekend. Did you want to come say anything about that or not today? No? Sounds good. Sure, sounds good. Yeah, so she's going to send an email and update us. For now, the plan is she's heading back. She's going to be working with Respect the Corners CrossFit Ministry and then also connecting with the YWAM Discipleship Training Schools there as well. Not sure exactly how that will look, but she'll let us know. Another thing I wanted to take note of was the announcement got run this week accidentally about Kelly. She's not actually in the hospital. As far as I know, she's been at home for the past week, and she's been able to spend time there recuperating. She still has some symptoms, some nausea and headaches, and I think maybe some pain as well, but they're waiting on some results and things and hoping that will continue to get better. But she was able to be at home, and so she was thankful for that. I saw her Instagram post the other day. So continue praying for Kelly as well and the Fairs. I'm going to let Glenda do her announcement, then I'll speak about youth a little bit as well.
I just want to bring it to your attention again. We are planning from the Education Committee, we are planning the new clubs year, and Rochelle Lowen has agreed to coordinate clubs, so thank you God for that. And so historically we've had just a little bit of difficulty getting teachers for this program, and you know, it's such an important outreach for this community, because a lot of these kids that we are bringing in for the clubs program aren't from our church, and so it is proven to be an outreach, and would really like our church congregation to kind of be behind this program. And one of the difficulties we've had too is finding any male teachers, and it is, I think, on our hearts to have men mentor these boys. It's just such a important piece for their lives, and we've had a real hard time getting any male teachers for this program. So I just want to break it down a little bit. The clubs program only starts in November. We kind of don't run a long program to the end of March. The last few years we've had one person in particular doing all the crafts, so for boys and girls, so we get together and kind of do that together. So we're looking for not a huge commitment. It would be it's a Wednesday evenings, and just providing kind of supervision and the lesson part of it for the boys, and then we join the bigger group to do the crafts together. So it's not a huge commitment, so if it's in your heart, please pray about it. Talk to myself or Rochelle, because we would love to provide provide this program again and have male teachers for these boys. And we do have a couple of female teachers already, so that's why I'm kind of talking to the men specifically. But if you want to be involved in any way, even just supervising in activities, let us know. We could always use more volunteers, even if you're not wanting to do a teacher role. Thanks.
Thank you, Glenda. There's also a note in there about the Fall Songs of Praise Sunday. If you have pictures of things that you're thankful for, you can send those to the email address that's on there, and they'll put that in there. They're also looking for people who are willing to play offertory and prelude, special music, and so if you can contact, they're going to put a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board at some point, and then contact the music committee if you have any questions. And the members are in the insert there. It tells you who that is. Awesome. For youth this year, we are still looking for one female leader, but we're planning to start up our regular youth programming on September the 12th. And on that day, we're going to be having Valley Amusements come out with their Zorb soccer balls. And so if you know any youth ages seven in grade 7 to grade 12 that might be interested in something like that, please let them know to come to BMC on the 12th at 7 p.m. And if you are a female person who has Wednesday evenings free and would like to see youth come to know Jesus and to share Jesus' love with them, you're not, can't be too old, but you can't really be under 18. So if you're anyone from 18 on and you're interested in that and passionate about it and the Lord is leading you, please call me and we'll talk about it. All right. This morning for our call to worship, something that I've been thinking about this week that the Lord's been putting on my heart is that we often come from different places and different spaces into a worship service, and sometimes we need to be reminded why we're doing what we do. So I want to read a little bit from the Celebration of Discipline and about worship. All right. To worship is to experience reality, to touch life. It is to know, to feel, to experience the resurrected Christ in the midst of the gathered community. It is a breaking into the Shekinah of God, or better yet, being invaded by the Shekinah of God, which is his glory. God is actively seeking worshipers. Jesus declares, "The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him." It is God who seeks, draws, persuades. Worship is the human response to the divine initiative. In Genesis, God walked in the garden, seeking out Adam and Eve. In the crucifixion, Jesus drew men and women to himself. Scripture is replete with examples of God's efforts to initiate, restore, and maintain fellowship with his children. God is like the father of the prodigal who, upon seeing his son a long way off, rushed to welcome him home. Worship is our response to the overtures of love from the heart of the Father. And there's a quote by William Temple that says, "To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, and to open the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God." As we gather today for worship, I want to remind you that we're here not because the music is awesome, not that I'm saying the music will be bad, the music will be great, but we're not here because of our personal preferences. We're here because of the God that we serve. We're here because of the God that we worship. And I've found that the worship services that often are the most impactful are those where we come with an attitude ready to worship this God who has done so much for us. Regardless of what our week has looked like, Jesus still died for us, each one of us. Knowing that each one of us goes through different times, I want to provide a little opportunity for us to be silent and to bring whatever's on our minds, because we often hold on to different things throughout the week. We might feel like we're holding 5 balloons with helium in this hand and 5 in this hand and trying not to let any of them go, like happened at the parade yesterday, all the balloons flying in the air. But we're trying to hold on to all these different things, and I want to encourage you this morning as we come to worship to let go of some of those balloons and trust that God's going to hold on to those things that we cannot. especially just for this morning time, that we would let go of that stuff, bring it before the Lord, and bring to him the worship that he deserves. So please close your eyes with me, and we'll pray. God, you are holy. You are righteous. You are glorious. And you are lovely. And so we bring our week before you, Lord, all of the things that we are holding on to, and we ask, Father, that you would take our burdens, that you would take those things that are on our minds. Help us to shift our focus onto you this morning. We long to see you. We long to hear your voice. We long to know your love and to love you with a greater love. May you be pleased with our worship as we set our eyes on you. And so as we are silent, God, we invite you to remind us of who you are. Thank you for your great love toward us, God. May you be glorified by our worship this morning. Amen. Riley, come on.
Morning. I'm honestly really glad we're all here today. We're a family, family in Christ. Whether you're a regular member or this is your first time here, we're all family and this is a safe place. And the Holy Spirit is here right now. And as Jerry said before, whether or not this is, well, maybe this has been just the best week for you. Maybe it's also been just the longest week. But it's reassuring that the same God that we worship in the good times is the same one that we cling to in the hard times. I was reading Psalm 103 this week. It says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So God is good to us. Amen. Would you join me in singing Be at Rest once more, O My Soul? Response, would you join me in singing Jesus, keep me near the cross in response to God's goodness? number 560 in your hymnal, 560. Would you please stand?
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. Be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God,
bring
me help me walk from day to day, if it shall. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand. Just
beyond the river.
In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Let's invite the ushers forward for the offering.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts of your people, and we lift them up to you, and we ask that they would bless you. And Father, we pray for those that are in care homes, for Trudy Harms, Helen Jansen, Jake Rimple, and Lena Rimple. Father, that you would be near to them, that you would send visitors to visit them, to encourage them, and to give them hope. And Father, we pray for anyone else who is sick in our congregation, including Kelly, and for Margaret Clausen, who is recovering from a broken tailbone. God, we just ask that you would bring healing to those who need healing. You are a God that likes to answer our prayers, and so we ask you for that. Be with Laura's mother, who has kidney problems and is not feeling well. Father, bring healing to her as well. And as her kids go back to school, pray that you would give them joy in that. Father, we pray for those who are missionaries from us that are abroad. God, we just pray that you would be near to them, give them everything that they need. As Ryan just got back to Mexico, Father, we pray that you would help him to have the energy that he needs to continue doing the work that you've set before him. We pray for Tyler, John and Natalie, for Murray and Carol, for Eagles Wings Children's Village, and we pray for Andrea, who's planning to head back soon as well. God, be with your people. You know what each one of us needs, and we ask that you would meet our needs and prove that you are the provider again. Show us your faithfulness, God. We thank you for your goodness toward us, and we ask that you would be our focus. We pray also for Adria Weeb, that you would heal her body and be with her family as well. And for the family of Peter Hildebrandt, God, we just pray that you would be their comfort, bring peace to their family, and be with them in this time of grieving and mourning, God. Thank you for your goodness toward us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to call Shania up for a children's story. And all the kids, if there's kids here, you can come on up. Bennett? Other kids? Come on up. Come on. I know there's some of you out there. You're just being shy. It's all good. If you want, I'll sit with you too.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Good. That's good. Okay, so today Dustin is going to walk us through Ephesians 6. But I want to talk to you about a very important verse in Ephesians 6, and that is verse 18. And it goes like this. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. This version is from the Message translation that I have in my Bible. So do you guys ever pray during the day? What kinds of times do you guys pray? Do you say grace before you eat? You say a prayer before you go to bed? Yeah, I pray at those times too. But sometimes praying hard and long is a little bit hard. I sometimes find myself rushing through the prayer to eat the delicious food that my parents have made for me. Or sometimes I just really want to go to bed, because I'm sometimes very tired. That's what happens when you get old. You get tired. But what I found, what I found out when I took some time and laid out the prayer, I pray before meals, there was one part that really stuck out to me, and that was, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. Do you guys pray that one sometimes? Yeah, that one sounds pretty familiar. What that means is that we are asking Jesus to be our guest at our meal. We want him to sit with us and to enjoy the meal with us. Jesus wants to be the guest at our meals, and many times we hear that God invites us to his table. Like in a song that I really like, it says, "He said, come to the table, come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior now. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table." So I really encourage you, like the verse Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, to keep your eyes open and pray for your brothers, sisters, friends, parents, and grandparents, and even people you don't know, and sometimes even pray for people who you may not be best friends with, because that's sometimes a little hard. And sometimes just a little bit of prayer goes a really long way. When you pray for someone, you could lift their spirits, and it could also really help them. Also, keep your eyes open for things that people need prayer for. A friend of mine once told me that every time she hears a siren from an ambulance or from the police, she drops everything she's doing and she prays for those people who are in need or in danger. And I've started doing that too, and it's been a really, really cool experience. Because sometimes you're driving in Winnipeg. I don't like driving in Winnipeg, but I've done it before. And you hear an ambulance or a police or a fire truck, and you think, what's going on? Who needs help? So praying for those people is something really special that you could do. And prayer is also so very important. It lifts spirits, and God hears us when we pray, and it makes him rejoice. So I guess, I don't know if you guys are going to start school in a couple of weeks, maybe one or two of you. But keep your eyes open for people who you think maybe need a little bit of prayer, and pray for them. It could really, really help them. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for prayer. Thank you that we could talk to you and that you can help us. Thank you for everything you have done in the lives of these kids. And I ask that as they go to school in a few weeks or they just continue on with their lives, you can help them to keep their eyes and ears open for you. In your name, amen. You guys can go back to your seats.
All right, thanks, Shania. So, as Shania said, Dustin is planning to speak later on Ephesians 6, and I paged through that a little bit this week in preparation. And there's a few different themes that one can draw from there, parent and child relations and servanthood, and, of course, the armor of God is probably a well-known passage for a lot of us. So I just want to sing a couple of songs relating to that. So let's start with the servant song. We are all called to serve one another, so yeah, would you please stand and sing the servant song with me?
Brother, bid me be your servant, let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on a road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the rope. I will hold the Christ light for you in the tide of I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear.
Sorry.
I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow until you've seen this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. For of all we've known together, of Christ's love and aid.
Thank you. And next, let's sing Soldiers of Christ Arise. It's not in your hymnal to the same tune, but it's the same tune as Crown Him with Many Crowns. So if that helps you, awesome. Sing your heart out. Awesome. So yeah, again, this relates to the armor of God. And one line in particular, I think, begs some explanation here. It says, stand then in his great might with all his strength endued, and take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God. That's an old word for a total suit of armor. From strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down and win the well-fought day. So we have this victory in Christ that is assured. So let's sing this. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. The Lord of hosts, and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus Christ has o'er conqueror. Brilliant. Awesome. Thanks. Please be seated.
Good morning again. I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And I'll invite Dustin up and pray for him before he speaks. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Dustin. God, I pray that you would give him peace in his heart and that his words would be from you. And if there's anything in his mind that's not from you this morning, that it would fall away and that he would speak what you're putting on his heart. Bless him and be with him. Thank you, Jesus, for Dustin. Amen.
Thanks, Jerry. All right. Good morning, everybody. It's been a few years since I've been up here, so let's see if we can shake the rust off. I trust that some of you will have checked your bulletin ahead of time and saw that I was giving the message, and to those people, I just want to say thanks for coming anyways. I'm just kidding. Thanks a lot for all the encouragement I got throughout the week and this morning, and just got lots of texts throughout the week, and just this morning people approaching me and saying that they're praying for me, and that was awesome. I could really feel it. So today I'm going to be going through a verse-by-verse look at Ephesians 6. Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians from a jail cell in Rome in about 60 to 61 AD. He is believed to have written this letter at the same time as he wrote Colossians and Philemon. I'll start off by reading 6:1-4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. I'll be picking things up in verse 4. I really like the way the Amplified Bible read verse 4. It says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate or irritate intensely or infuriate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Being that I am a father, I realize I have a huge role to play in my kids' lives. They are looking to me for guidance, love, acceptance, and whether they would agree or not, discipline. This is a job that I am trying to not take lightly or take for granted. God has entrusted me and Leah with raising his children up in a way that honors him. Our job as parents is to be ambassadors of God. In saying this, what I mean is that in every situation, the best thing we can do is to point them in the way of their true Father, our Lord God. I always want to try to be the father that God wants me to be. This is a challenge for me every day. Far too often, I find myself overreacting to something my kids do or say. I need to be reminded that they are only 2 and 4 years old. One word that really hit me hard in the Amplified version is resent. The last thing that I would want to do is treat my family in any way that would make them resent me. Father deprivation is a more reliable predictor of criminal activity than race, environment, or poverty. According to the Institute for the Study of Civil Society, children who grow up without a father figure in their lives are 8 times more likely to go to prison, 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 20 times more likely to have behavioral problems, 32 times more likely to become runaways, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, and 1/10 as likely to get A's in school. I know that statistics cannot always be taken at face value, but even if they're anywhere close to accurate, this is a strong reminder for us fathers here to be consistently strong influences in our kids' lives and to do everything we can to raise them with strong values. Moving on to verses 5-9. Slaves and masters. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. I do realize that there are many places in the world in which slavery still exists. I believe that we definitely need to continue praying for those people who are victims of slavery. But when slavery is mentioned in Ephesians 6, it is not at all the same thing as what is going on in certain places in the world today, and also not the same thing as what has happened, for example, in the United States with the enslavement of many African Americans in the 17th and 18th centuries. In the Hebrew culture, slavery was set up as a way for people who are poor to be helped. Generally, people who were slaves became slaves by volunteering to do so. They did this as a last resort when they could no longer support themselves on their own, but needed to have their needs met or debts paid by someone who was wealthy. They were never to be mistreated. Leviticus 25:39-43 says, If one of your countrymen becomes poor among you and sells himself to you, do not make him work as a slave. He is to be treated as a hired worker or a temporary resident among you. He is to work for you until the year of Jubilee, and then he and his children are to be released, and he will go back to his own clan and the property of his forefathers. Because the Israelites are my servants, whom I brought out of Egypt, they must not be sold as slaves. Do not rule over them ruthlessly, but fear your God. Slaves are also not to be held as slaves for more than 6 years. Exodus 21 verse 2 says, If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years, but in the 7th year he shall go free, without paying anything. In our passage from Ephesians that we are focusing on today, I believe this is the kind of master-slave relationship that Paul is referring to, rather than that of the type of the slavery the Israelites had to face in Roman captivity. So I think we can read Ephesians 6:5-9 in a way that in our culture today it would be closer to an employer-employee relationship. Because at this time I am not a business owner, for myself I cannot provide food and shelter for myself without someone's help. If I didn't work for someone, I could not buy food for myself and my family, and I also could not afford a house to live in either. So if we were thinking about it in this way, as an employee, I am called to work hard and genuinely for my employer, just as if I was working directly for Jesus. I am going to work hard whether my employee can see what I'm doing or not. And in doing so, I believe that we will be rewarded for how we work and what we can get accomplished. I know for myself, I come up short with trying to do this. It is not uncommon for me to have a bad attitude about a job that I'm doing if the job is a less than desirable one. I know that I definitely don't always treat my employer with the same amount of respect that I would hope that I would show Jesus if I was working directly for him. But as with everything in the Christian life, it is not about being perfect, because none of us will ever get there. It should be looked at as something to strive for. For the employers who are here today, I like how verse 9 reads in the Amplified Bible. It says, "Masters, do the same, showing goodwill toward them, and give up threatening and abusive words, knowing that he who is both their true master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him, regardless of one's earthly status." It is important to remember that in God's eyes, we are all on the same level, and there is not one person more important than the other. Moving on to verses 10 to 17. I'm sure that most of you have heard multiple messages on the armor of God. Maybe I'll be able to put a different spin on something, and if I can't, at the very least, I hope this can be a reminder of the powerful scripture. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, powers, and authorities of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy, put on the helmet of salvation, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All the information that I am presenting on the Greek meanings of words is taken from BibleHub.com's Greek lexicon, or dictionary, for us blue-collar people. If anyone here is experienced with the Greek pronunciation of words, you'll have to be patient with me, because I'm sure that I will not get it right. Be strong in the Lord. The word strong here comes from the Greek word dunamo, which means make strong or to enable. When it is used in this way, the word dunamo is a verb, an action word. I like the idea of being active in the Lord and in his mighty power. The struggle against the enemy is a constant fight, and we need to be active in the Lord and actively seeking his guidance and protection that only he can offer. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, powers, and authorities of this dark world. The Amplified Bible says, "All of the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil." The enemy is going to do whatever he can to lie to you and take you away from the Lord. In the past year and a bit, I've encountered many spiritual battles and have undergone a big transformation in my walk with God. By the grace of God, I have been able to better see and understand the attacks, lies, and deceits of the enemy. I am learning to better distinguish between the voice of our great chainbreaker and the voice of the devil. During one of the hardest times of my Christian walk, I reached out to a few very godly people who I really respect. During one of my conversations with one of these people, I told them that I was repeatedly having a lot of the times that I had messed up brought back to my mind, and I was feeling as though I was the greatest sinner of all. He told me that there are two forces always at work in our lives, the voice of the Redeemer and the voice of the Accuser. He then asked me if I truly thought that the Lord would be bringing things up from my past just to drag me down. In a small, shaky voice, I squeaked through my tears, "No." He reassured me in a gentle and understanding way that no, that's not the Jesus that I know. Our God does not bring stuff up from our past that we have been forgiven for. Once Jesus died on the cross, our sins were done away with. When he was about to die on the cross, he said, "It is finished." For most of my life, I thought that when Jesus said this, he was just referring to the trial of crucifixion that he had undergone. But now I believe that when Jesus said this, he was not just referring to his horrible experience that he had gone through, but also the sins of the entire world, all the sins that you and I have ever committed or will ever commit. Whether we have asked for forgiveness for them or not, they are gone. We do not need to think about them anymore. It is finished. During some conversations with another one of these individuals, he was consistently reassuring me that I was not alone in what I was going through. He was and is a huge part of my life, and I owe him a lot. I can always count on him to be there for me when I need someone to talk to, and I know that he's always going to be checking in with me asking, "How are things going, brother?" The point that I'm trying to make with this is that one of the biggest tools the enemy uses is the tool of isolation. The enemy will pick away at you and try to make you feel alone. Some of the lies that I was believing was that you are a loser, a terrible person. Look at what you've done. You are beyond grace. If you talk to anyone about what you're going through, they will think you are weak and pathetic. I've been learning that the opposite is true. It takes a lot of courage and strength to make yourself vulnerable. This is one of the things that I am still learning how to get better at. I have a long ways to go, but dealing with pride is one thing that everyone, especially men, deal with on a regular basis. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Moving on to verse 13. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." I like how it says, "when the day of evil comes." There's a popular doctrine gaining steam in our world. This movement is sometimes referred to as the health and wealth doctrine or the prosperity gospel. Basically, if you have enough faith in the Lord, you will never have any illness, nothing should ever go wrong in your life, and everyone should be wealthy. This is a way of thinking that I completely reject. I do not believe any amount of faith can prevent trials from coming our way. I don't believe that God offers us a way around every trial, but he definitely offers us a way through it. And often it is during the toughest times in our life that we can grow the most. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." Verse 14 and 15 says, "Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Truth is absolutely essential in our walk with God and the foundation for a solid relationship with God. If we don't understand who we are in God and don't understand what he has done for us, the grace we can live in and the forgiveness that we have already received, we become an easy target for the enemy. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. When I read righteous here, my mind immediately pumps the brakes and says, "Wait a minute, only the Lord is righteous." But here, the word righteous is taken from the Greek word dikaios, which means correct or by implication, innocent. Because Jesus died on the cross and took our sins away, we are now seen in the eyes of God as innocent because our sins are no longer held against us. We also need to have our feet fitted with the readiness to go into the world and share the gospel and to share the good news about our forgiveness and the grace that Jesus won for us on the cross. Moving on to verse 16 and 17. "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. Put on the helmet of salvation and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The Roman soldiers' shields were covered with leather, and before going into battle, the shields were soaked in water. This was very important because not only did the shield itself block the arrows, but because the leather was saturated with water, this put out the tips of arrows that could be set on fire. Every day as Christians, we are going into battle with the enemy. Soaking our shields every day could be used as a metaphor for spending time with God and reading the Bible. We need to regularly be spending time with God and reading his word, soaking our shields so we will be better equipped to fight on a daily basis. In saying this, I am not saying that if we miss a day here and there of reading our Bible, that God will punish us for this. If we start thinking this way, we can get wrapped up in the legalisms that sometimes come along with our Christian walk. And in doing so, we take our eyes off of our relationship with Jesus. The Roman soldier's helmet was called a galea. Different types of soldiers had different types of helmets, but since there was apparently no major manufacturer of these helmets, even the helmets that were of the same kind did not always look the same. Think of our Christian churches. There are many kinds of churches. Churches that believe in our Lord Jesus and know that he is the resurrected Son of God. And though we sometimes believe different things, we also have salvation. I can be guilty of being critical of the way other types of churches operate, or critical of the minor differences between us. This is a waste of time, and a perfect way for fighting to occur between brothers and sisters in Christ. It shouldn't really matter, for example, what kind of instruments may be used in the worship service, or what type of baptisms are performed. The most important thing is the fellowship we can experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us all. The sword of the Spirit is the final piece of armor of God, and the only piece that was used for defense and offense. I am almost certain that we can agree that this is the Bible. I can speak from personal experience that the most effective way of staying sharp spiritually against the attacks of the enemy is to recite Scripture. When I feel as though I am being attacked spiritually, I like to ask God for help. I have to ask him to rebuke the enemy from me and ask him to help me to resist those attacks. I also end every prayer with one of the Bible verses that I've memorized. There's no way that I can stand strong without the Lord. I am hopelessly and helplessly lost without him. Psalm 41 verse 2 says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Verse 18 and 19 says, and pray in the Spirit and on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We as believers need to pray for each other in the same way that Paul is requesting prayer here. We need to be asking for the right words to say at the right times. It seems as though society is getting more and more sensitive with issues such as the LGBT agenda, microaggressions, and safe spaces. We need to pray for each other to stand firm in what we believe and solid in what the Bible teaches, but we also need to be gentle enough to not put up any barriers as to drive away non-believers from the great relationship with Jesus that they too could experience. Prayer is the most powerful tool that we have as Christians. When I was preparing this message this week, I could feel that people were praying for me. And I know that there are many people here who have felt the power of prayer. That is something that non-believers just don't get. They would be calling us crazy for saying this, telling us it's all in our head, but we know better. We trust and believe in the power of prayer. In closing, I will tell you a short story. A few weeks back, we were at my wife's grandma's cottage. We often take the boat out fishing in the evenings as a family, but most mornings I'll get up at 5 and go fishing in the canoe by myself for a few hours before anyone else gets up. One morning, I set out on my canoe, paddled out a ways, dropped the anchor, and started fishing. I caught a few smaller fish to start the morning, and then after about an hour or so, things got slow. I reeled in, grabbed my paddle, and started to look for another spot. I was paddling at a regular pace, but I couldn't figure out why I was going so slow. Then I realized I had forgot my anchor in the water. I was still moving, I was still making forward progress, but I was going at a snail's pace. Isn't this how we can be as believers? Let's pretend that our guilt and our shame from our past mistakes is the anchor. We can go about our Christian walk, paddling away, try as we may. We're still moving, we're still making forward progress, but that anchor is really holding us back. Let Jesus lift your anchor. Let go of the guilt and shame that you are holding on to. I know it's hard, and I know it's something that I'm also working on. We're in this together. But by letting go of what we're hanging on to, we honor Jesus and glorify him, saying, what you did for me is enough. You are enough, Jesus. All praise and glory be unto our glorious chain breaker, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Dustin. Let's respond by standing to sing, Be Strong in the Lord and Be of Good Courage.
For the benedictions today, I'll be reading Ephesians 6, 23 and 24. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace.